Let me go ahead and call the Mesa City Council meeting for Monday, January 7th, 2008 to order. We will begin the evening with an invocation read by Reverend Mary Bullis from the Red Mountain United Methodist Church, followed by a Pledge of Allegiance by Clifford Jenkins. Would you please rise for the invocation and remain standing for the pledge?
Let us pray. O holy God, author of justice, giver of freedom, the hope of all people, we lift up to you now the leaders and the people of Mesa. We pray for Mayor Hawker and the members of the City Council, for Manager Brady and his staff, for Chief Gaston and for all those who work for our safety and protection, and for all city employees and staff. And we lift to you the people of Mesa, that the needs of all people for food and shelter, for work, for education, for health, and for safety might be met. We pray that the wonderful diversity of people who live and work here in our great city might join their efforts in working together for the well-being of all. Remind us that every person you have created deserves dignity, security, and justice. And never let us forget those most vulnerable among us, our children and our youth, our elderly, our frail, our poor. Be especially with our leaders, O God, as we begin this new year, and as they deal with such things as limited revenue, troubled neighborhoods, disputes among constituents and competing interests. Grant them wisdom, O God, to make good decisions, courage to do the right thing, compassion to care for those in need, and a vision for the future that brings hope and blessing to all. Help all of us, leaders and residents alike, rise above any pettiness and divisiveness or self-interest, that we might truly work together for the common good. Heal any tensions that divide us, and help us to forgive others as we have been forgiven by you. Hear now our prayer, O God, that we might truly be a city, a state, and a nation of liberty and justice for all. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good evening, and thank you for joining us for the Mesa City Council meeting this evening. Following a long-standing tradition, before we begin tonight's council meeting, I will deliver Mesa's State of the City address. This will be my eighth and final State of the City address as Mayor of Mesa. My term of office will end this June. Let me say that serving the community has been both an honor and a pleasure. I succeeded in addressing some of the issues and problems I set out to work on, but I fell short on others. But before I go into that, I'd like to point out that a lot has changed since I was first elected as a Mesa City Council member more than 20 years ago. In June of 1986, when I was first sworn in as an at-large council member, Mesa's population was 242,000 residents. We've almost doubled in size since then, and current estimates show some 470,000 people now call Mesa home. Over the years, I have served with 26 different council members under four different mayors: Mayor Wayne Brown, Mayor Willie Wong, Mayor Peggy Rubach, and Mayor Al Brooks. In June of 2002, we completed our transition from an at-large system to a district council system, and the council members you see before you have proven that in Mesa, you can represent a specific district while maintaining your commitment to the city as a whole. In addition to their work at the local level, many of Mesa council members also serve on regional and national committees. Mesa residents will see a substantial turnover in this council this spring, with no fewer than four current members, including myself, completing their terms. To maintain continuity at a regional level, I have asked some council members to assume my role on several regional boards. I will continue to represent Mesa until my term ends on June 2, 2008, on the Maricopa Association of Governments Regional Council and as chair of the Transportation Policy Committee, which oversees the Prop 400 expenditures. I'd like to take a moment to recognize each of our outstanding council members. Vice Mayor Claudia Walters, who represents Northwest Mesa, is the best vice mayor I have had the pleasure of serving with. Her commitment to our community is unwavering. She is a tenacious defender of neighborhood programs and understands the intricacies of city financing, which is why I asked her to chair the council's Audit and Finance Committee. At the regional level, I have asked Vice Mayor Walters to assume two key roles. First, as Mesa's representative to the League of Arizona Cities and Towns, which monitors and shapes legislative initiatives that impact the city of Mesa. And secondly, utilizing her water expertise, I have asked her to serve as Mesa's representative to the Arizona Municipal Water Users Association. In addition to these regional committees, Claudia continues to serve as vice chair of the National League of Cities Community and Economic Development Steering Committees. Mike Wayland, who represents District 2 in Central Mesa, serves at the national level on the Homeland Security Working Group. This important committee, like the Public Safety Committee he chairs for the City of Mesa, utilizes Mike's 28 years of service with the Mesa Police Department. In addition to his public safety expertise, Mesa also benefits from Mike's work on the Arizona Corporations Commission's Power Plant and Line Siting Committees. After 8 years of dedicated council service, Mike's term will end this June. District Councilmember Tom Rowles serves as chair of the council's General and Economic Development Committees. He has been a steadfast advocate for property rights and the protection of civil liberties. Over the past 4 years, Tom has never hesitated to cast a lone dissenting vote while assisting the council in it articulating its majority view. Mesa has benefited from Tom's legal expertise and willing to speak his mind. Unfortunately, he has decided not to run for another term, so Tom will also leave the council this June. Since being elected in 2002, I have been able to count on District 4 Councilmember Kyle Jones. Kyle serves as chair of the Mesa 2025 Financing the Future Committee and also currently oversees the council's Transportation and Infrastructure Committee. At the national level, he serves on both the National League of Cities Immigration Task Force and the Public Safety and Crime Prevention Steering Committees. I have also asked Kyle to represent Mesa on the Regional Valley Metro Rail Board, which faces the difficult task of planning and constructing a high-capacity transit route into downtown Mesa from the Sycamore Light Rail Terminal at Dobson and Main Street. Our newest member of the council, District 5 Representative Daryl Truitt, has truly hit the ground running. Mesa is lucky to have such a dedicated and knowledgeable interim council member. Taking on the assignments previously held by Rex Griswold, who resigned to run for mayor, Daryl chairs the council's Community and Neighborhood Services Committee. His expertise in civil engineering and planning is invaluable. While Daryl has decided not to run for the permanent seat in District 5, the District 5 residents can be sure that they are well represented by Councilmember Truitt. Last, but certainly not least, is Councilmember Scott Summers, who represents District 6. Councilmember Summers has proven himself to be a steadfast supporter and protector of Phoenix Mesa Gateway Airport and its regional employment center. As I have asked Scott to assume my role on the Airport Authority Board, that's actually supposed to say, as such, I have asked Scott to assume my role, so get the nuance of that. Scott likes the airport. He does a good job, so he's on that board. I have also asked God to serve as Mesa's representative to the Regional Public Transportation Authority. Scott also chairs the Council's Intergovernmental Affairs Committee. As a firefighter and graduate of ASU Polytechnic, I appreciate Scott's public safety expertise, as well as his desire to encourage development that will maximize Gateway's potential. I would also like to recognize Scott's achievement this year in obtaining his PhD. As you can see, this is truly an exceptional council. While further assignments to regional boards and committees will be the next mayor's decision, I know that the continuing council members will be able to use and share their expertise they have gained to represent Mesa as part of a regional decision-making process. So now that I've talked about the council, it's time to take a hard look at myself. How did I perform as mayor? What goals did I set out to accomplish? Where did I succeed? And where did I fall short? Rather than risking the unknown and asking my fellow council members to respond to such a question, I return to my speech that I gave on June 5th, 2000, when I was first sworn in as mayor. And I want to point out that that is my mother swearing me in, Janelle Hawker. Thanks, Mom. In that inaugural address, I outlined 10 goals or areas of focus. And I'd like to do a self-evaluation tonight on those 10 goals. My first goal was then and is today to make public safety my first priority. How did we do? Well, we made good on our promise to use the voter-approved quality of life sales tax to hire 120 more police officers and 65 more firefighters. Since 2000, we have developed a cybercrime unit, reorganized our police academy, or actually regionalized our police academy, started using bait cars to reduce auto theft, expanded Mesa's use of the combined DNA index system, started a domestic violence enforcement response team, and opened the Red Mountain substation, and through our city manager, Chris Brady, hired a new police chief, George Gascon. In 2006, when we were faced with more than $20 million in budget cuts, this council prioritized city services and put public safety first. Out of all of our city services, police and fire were the least affected by the shortfall. But while our crime rate may be lower per capita than some of our surrounding communities, there is still room for improvement. And as Mesa has grown, so has our fire response times. Mesa currently has significant police and fire capital needs. To address these needs, this council voted to place bonds for these items on the November 2008 ballot. It will be up to the new council to ratify or reject that election. And if approved by the new council, it will be up to Mesa voters to decide whether or not to fund these public safety projects. I'll have to say that one thing that I've thoroughly enjoyed over the years is seeing how easy it is for political cartoonists to boil a complicated problem down into a simple cartoon. This is actually one of my favorites. My second goal was to manage growth properly. Specifically, I proposed creating a citizen-driven plan for our community that looks out to the year 2025. To accomplish this, we involved hundreds of residents who volunteered their time to help create master plans for land use, economic development, parks and recreation, transportation, and housing. Then we took it to the voters. In 2002, Mesa residents overwhelmingly approved the new Mesa 2025 general plan. After that long process had been completed, I wanted to go one step further and look at how we could finance the vision our residents had created. So I asked Councilmember Jones to chair a new committee called Mesa 2025, Financing the Future. After a year and a half of thorough analysis, the committee recommended that council ask voters to consider implementing a primary property tax, as well as raise the city's sales tax rate. While the sales tax increase was approved in 2006, voters rejected the primary property tax measure. I remain concerned about Mesa's over-reliance on retail sales tax revenue. Let me repeat that one. I remain concerned about Mesa's over-reliance on retail sales tax revenue. Detailed financial forecasting has shown that Mesa's current financing mechanisms will not keep pace with population and growth. My third goal was to change Mesa from a bedroom to a boardroom community. In my inaugural address, I said one of the ways I wanted to accomplish this was to protect existing industrial and commercially zoned land in areas like Williams Gateway Airport. While the name of the airport may have changed to Phoenix Mesa Gateway, my goal remains the same. With the help of this council, we have stopped residential encroachment and expanded Mesa's planning area to protect the flight path. Over the past 2 years, we have welcomed passenger service to Gateway, along with great new employers like Cessna and Embraer. Mesa joined the Airport Authority, and taxiway and airport parking improvements were completed. Great things are happening at Gateway, but we must continue to work with landowners, DMV, and Pacific Proving to ensure that their developments do not hinder the success of the airport. The City of Mesa is currently involved in major land use and transportation planning for the Gateway area. These land use concepts will be considered by Council this spring. After that, I will look to the next mayor and Council to continue to protect Gateway Airport and to maximize its potential. We've seen the problems that residential encroachment has caused airports here and around the country. If developed correctly, the job center at Gateway Airport has the potential to offer 100,000 high-quality jobs, making it one of the largest employment centers in the state. But we only have one chance to get it right. We must work with our airport partners in both Maricopa and Pinal counties to plan responsibly. My fourth goal was to spend tax dollars wisely. To accomplish this goal, I propose creating a 2-year operating budget and a 5-year forecast budget. The Mesa 2025 Financing the Future Committee extended my 5-year forecast by creating a 25-year forecasting model, and Mesa moved to a 2-year budget cycle in 2003. To provide further accountability to Mesa taxpayers, Council also decided to ask voters to amend the city charter to include an auditor that reports directly to the Council. Voters approved that measure in 2006, and Auditor Gary Ray was appointed by Council. My fifth goal was to stop government mandates. One of the examples I stated when I was sworn in is that I wanted to replace the $1 surcharge automatically added to city utility bills with voluntary contributions. I lost that battle. But while the dollar donation still appears on the utility bill, the layout was changed, and with fewer donations being received since the change, it leads me to suspect that fewer residents are paying it unknowingly. Another goal I list in the category was to stop compulsory sobriety checkpoints. Although I remain concerned about the prevalence of drunk driving, I simply do not think that people driving down a street, not doing anything wrong, should be stopped. To me, this is an example of our own personal freedoms being hindered without just cause. But I lost that fight too. My sixth goal was to form partnerships with the education community. As you may have heard me say, I strongly believe that if you do not have an educated workforce, you can't attract quality jobs. That's why we continue to work closely with key representatives from Mesa Public Schools, EVIT, MCC, ASU Polytechnic, and new schools like A.T. Still University, which welcomed its first class of more than 100 medical students this fall. I've asked our schools to ensure that their education programs match the needs of Mesa's current and future employers. While there are far too many good programs to list tonight, I want to congratulate ASU Polytechnic on recently receiving approval from the FAA to move forward with a new degree program in air traffic control. Number seven was to finish projects currently planned for downtown Mesa. Former Mayor Wayne Brown was the driving force behind the Mesa Arts Center. Because of his hard work, this unique arts and education campus became a reality in 2005. Construction at the Arts Center was paid for with voter-approved, quality-of-life sales tax, and private donations. The facility was not financed. And although it will have to occur after my term of office has ended, I would still like to see the center privately owned and operated, eliminating the city's ongoing subsidy of just over $6 million per year. In my inaugural address, I also conveyed my support for an aquatics facility. I thought that the venue could be a real draw for downtown, enabling Mesa to host Olympic trials and other high-profile competitions. But everything changed. The professional swimming community began using temporary pools, portable pools for big events, making permanent pools no longer necessary to host competitions. As the budget tightened, it became clear that the money earmarked in the quality of life sales tax for new aquatic centers would be better spent renovating Mesa's existing pools, several of which were in serious disrepair, and these renovations are currently underway. Lastly, under the downtown category, I also mentioned the success we were having with the Statues in the Streets program. Although budget shortfalls made it necessary for Mesa to stop funding that program several years ago, the private sector stepped up to keep the popular program alive. This is something we also saw with Holiday Lights Downtown and Mesa's Veterans and Martin Luther King Day parades. The individuals responsible for raising funds to keep these events and attraction going are to be complimented. My eighth goal was to embrace new technology. Mesa has been working towards the completion of a fiber optic loop to encourage business growth and enhance connectivity. We expect to complete the loop within the next couple of years. Number nine, continue protecting the environment. Examples I used to convey this goal included the restoration of the Salt River bed and preserving the Upper Sonoran Desert. Council supported a new preservation guidelines for the desert uplands area that helped to ensure native habitat in that region would be protected. And the development guidelines used for desert uplands may be employed by other developers in the future. Meanwhile, work continues on the restoration of the Salt River bed. The project known as Vashalayak Mel, which means salt river in the native Pima Maricopa languages, has received more than $2 million in federal funding so far. And the Army Corps of Engineers is currently engaged in design work. Once finished, this 18-mile riparian habitat will be a point of pride for Mesa and our partners, the Salt River Pima Maricopa Indian Community. Number 10 was communicate what we are doing that impacts our lives and property. While communication functions were impacted by the city's financial shortfall, Mesa continued to include updates in utility bill stubbers and hosted a series of open houses to explain important budget issues. And of course, the council and I continued to reach out to residents through regular editorials and community newspapers and by attending neighborhood meetings and other events. Mesa also continues to broadcast council meetings and study sessions, as well as increase the amount of information available on the city's website at cityofmesa.org. So there it is, the 10 challenges that I identified when I was sworn in as mayor on June 5th, 2000. With this council support, we did accomplish a lot. One of the more interesting experiences I have had as mayor started in January of 2001. when I first brought up the idea of cross-training Mesa police officers to perform immigration enforcement duties. In response to my ideas, the Mesa Association of Hispanic Citizens promptly put me on what they called Kino Watch. Newspapers declared that my idea was off track and ran clever cartoons depicting my imminent demise. Despite the criticism, I wasn't deterred. That is, until I found out that the cross-training program made possible through the 1996 addition to the Immigration and Nationality Act didn't exist yet, so I dropped it. Then in February of 2004, I broached the idea of citing people who hired day laborers, and again, the criticism began and I was labeled irresponsible. Councilmember Jones and Wayland, in the meantime, tried to use the few tools that were available to them to address Mesa's growing day labor problem and alleviate concerns of business owners along the Broadway corridor. And then in July of 2005, the tide began to change. The newspapers started saying that ICE training was the right call for local officers. What a difference 6 years makes. Now, dozens of law enforcement agencies across the country have received training from ICE, including the Arizona Department of Corrections, DPS, and Maricopa Sheriff's Office. More than 80 communities across the country are now on the waiting list for training. And last month, this council voted unanimously to ask ICE about training for the city's holding facility. The reason I brought this up tonight is simple. I remain seriously concerned about the significant impact that illegal immigrants have on our community, including on our hospitals, schools, and jails. And although it may be a complex problem, and elected officials may get raked over the coals like I did to address it, we can no longer sit back and hope that Congress will pass meaningful immigration reform. I hope the next council will also continue to examine all potential solutions. And speaking of the issues the next council is likely to deal with, I believe the next council will also face continuing pressure to incentivize new development. While I would prefer not to participate in corporate welfare, until the rules of the game change, Mesa must remain competitive with other cities. The approval of both Riverview and Wave Yard has shown that Mesa voters are willing to support new projects for our community and that they don't want Mesa to be passed by. As the housing market heats up again, the next council also is likely to face pressure from developers looking to build subdivisions without adequate infrastructure. This has appeared in places like Anthem and Johnson Ranch, communities that are now looking for regional funding solutions to their self-imposed congestion problems. Examples like these are why I have pushed for more comprehensive transportation planning. Maricopa County voters showed great trust and vision when they approved the quarter-cent transportation tax extension in 2004. It's everybody's responsibility to make sure these dollars go towards the project agreed upon by the regional transportation plan and are not sent somewhere else to alleviate problems caused by poor planning. This is one of the reasons I have asked City Manager Chris Brady to examine the possibilities of creating a new zoning designation for future transportation corridors. I have also asked the State Land Department to work more closely with ADOT to advance planned transportation for the 300-square-mile parcel of State Trust land to our east known as Superstition Vistas. Ideally, I would like to see that area develop as an entirely new community. But Mesa has included 10 miles of it into our planning area at this time to ensure gateway flight operations are protected. While this council has identified several issues to tackle in the months ahead, including slumlord laws, infill guidelines, spacing requirements for pawn shops, regional jail facilities, and of course, planning for Gateway Airport, if there is one thing that I've realized after all these years of serving Mesa, it's that nothing happens overnight. Some lament the slow processes of government, blaming bureaucratic red tape. And certainly, we always look to ways to streamline the process. But stakeholder meetings, studies, and public hearings are there for a reason, to give every citizen a chance to make his or her voice heard. Big projects like transforming an old Air Force base into a world-class airport, restoring native habitat, or building a $15 billion regional transportation plan don't happen overnight. Many of these endeavors will become a reality long after I and many of my fellow council members have left office. So, realizing that, I am going to predict and welcome the next mayor to take credit for the following. First, you can take credit for the December 2008 opening of the light rail, which is on time and on budget at the Main Street station at Main and Sycamore. Securing Prop 400 funding for the extension of light rail into downtown Mesa. Completion of the Loop 202 freeway in East Mesa, a 23-year process to finally get it completed. You can take credit for it. Securing Prop 400 funding and setting the alignment for the Gateway Freeway. The success of the Phoenix Mesa Gateway Airport, including its educational complex and job center. Restoration of the Salt River riparian habitat. Amassing 300,000 acre-foot of groundwater credits. Quite a feat. Using millions in Pinal County water farm sales to reduce Mesa's bond debt. And anything else the next mayor can think of. Wow, the next mayor has really done a great job and hasn't even been elected yet. But speaking of the next mayor, I would like to take a moment to recognize the candidates that are running for mayor who are with us tonight. I'd appreciate it if nobody applaud. We're not doing kind of a simulated election here tonight, but I would like to recognize them. Of course, I have to start with the person on my right, Vice Mayor Claudia Walters. I'd also like to recognize former District 5 Council Member Rex Griswold. Next. And I'd also like to recognize Scott Smith. Thank you for being here tonight, and I'd like to encourage Mesa residents to vote on March 11th, 2008. Due to the change in the election cycle, those elected to serve new terms on the council will serve for 4 years and 7 months at this election rather than the typical 4 years. Okay, given this is my last State of the City address, I'd like to take the prerogative to close with a joke. All right, here it is. Now, this is appropriate to the new mayor candidate, so pay attention here. A newly elected mayor, full of fresh ideas and determined to better his community, sought advice from the outgoing mayor, who had served for many years, kind of like me. Not wanting to dampen the new mayor's enthusiasm, the mayor told him that he would write down his advice and place it in three sealed envelopes, clearly marked 1, 2, and 3, which he would leave in his desk. The outgoing mayor instructed the new mayor to only open the envelopes in the event of a true emergency. The new mayor laughed. For what problems could possibly befall such an eager and committed public servant? Several months passed with the envelopes collecting dust in the mayor's drawer. The new mayor thought he had the job tackled, but then one day he ran into a problem he simply couldn't solve. He remembered the three envelopes and eagerly opened number one. The note inside said, "Reorganize." The mayor thought this was a great idea, and with the city manager's help, they reorganized the city, changed the department heads, did a bunch of stuff. The reorganization worked for a little while, but it wasn't long before the mayor hit another snag. Not knowing what to do, the mayor turned to envelope number two, which contained a note that simply read, "Blame your predecessor." Although Mayor didn't like the eye too much, he did it, and prior mayor got all the blame. And it did help to deflect criticism and seem to improve things for a while. And then several months later, another disappointing setback occurred. At a total loss for what to do, the mayor turned to the last envelope in desperation. Inside envelope number three included a note that simply read, "Prepare three envelopes." Okay, I know we've covered a lot of ground tonight, and we faced a lot of challenges during my 8 years as mayor. I have made some people angry, including immigration and affordable housing advocates, or people who just wanted me to sign every proclamation request that came across my desk, even if it was one to declare Global Love Day. And yes, that was an actual request. But I also had a lot of fun doing crazy things with Mesa United Way, like dressing up as the Tin Man or Elvis. And Carol McCormick always made me sing, and trust me, I can't sing. I have enjoyed my time on council and have learned a lot in the process between city finance, water resources, utility infrastructure, park maintenance, zoning issues, liquor licenses, code compliance, and police and fire operations. It's like earning a PhD in municipal government. Now, Scott, how do I submit my dissertation here?
You have to submit about $20,000 to ASU.
Oh, is that it? I was wondering how you got that accomplished. Okay.
This is how I'm paying it off.
Okay. With this as my last State of the City address, I want to say it has been a pleasure and an honor to serve the city of Mesa, and thank you for your attention this evening. And now let's go ahead with tonight's meeting. In case anyone's counting, we have 10 regular council meetings left after tonight's. I believe it's time to read into the record the consent agenda.
Good evening. All citizens are permitted and encouraged to speak on agenda items. If you're interested in speaking on an agenda item, please fill out a blue card in the back of the room and give it to the city clerk. When the council considers the item, you will be called to the podium to provide your comments. Mayor and council members, these are the items on the consent agenda. All items listed with an asterisk will be considered as a group by the city council and will be enacted with one motion. There will be no separate discussion of these items unless a council member or citizen requests, in which event the item will be removed from the consent agenda and considered as a separate item. If a citizen wants an item removed from the consent agenda, a blue card must be completed and given to the city clerk prior to the council's vote on the consent agenda. Item 2, approval of minutes from previous meetings as written. Item 4A, act on liquor license for commemorative Air Force Arizona Wing Museum for a one-day charitable event. Item 4B, act on liquor license for St. Bridget's Knights of Columbus for a one-day fraternal event. Item 4C, act on new beer bar license for Club Seis Frias 111 South Dobson Road, Suite 108. This item has been continued to the February 4th City Council meeting. Item 4D, act on new beer and wine store license for La Crescenta Mini Mart, 2114 West Main Street. Item 4E, act on new beer and store license for Pacific Coast Seafood Market, 502 South Dobson Road, number 8. Item 4F, act on new restaurant license for La Roca Mexican Peruvian Grill, 1440 South Country Club Drive, number 3. Item 5A, act on contract for Larbury System Radio Frequency ID, $383,466.34. Item 4B, act on supply contract for 800 megahertz radio equipment, $162,450. Item 5C, act on contract for 10 replacement vehicles, $205,220.62. Item 5D, act on three-year supply contract for leather work gloves, $41,712.84 annually. Item 5E, act on one-year supply contract for bulk methanol, $320,000 annually. Item 5F, act on three-year supply contract for traffic signposts, $91,138.24 annually. Item 5G, act on supply contract and maintenance services for fire extinguishers, $43,320. Item 5H, act on contract for purchase of three replacement mechanical street sweepers, $641,839.40. Item 5I, act on contract for computerized maintenance management system not to exceed $628,107.52. Item 5K, act on contract for Rose Junior High pool rehab, $43,340. Item 6A, introduce ordinance for January 22nd, amend Mesa City Code relating to administrative code. Item 6B, introduce ordinance for January 22nd, amend Mesa City Code regarding traffic modifications. Item 6C, introduce ordinance for January 22nd, annexation case A07-03, annex right-of-way between Princess and Adobe. Item 6D, introduce ordinance for January 22nd, annexation case A07-04, annex right-of-way between Portobello Avenue and Elliott Road. Item 6E, introduce ordinance for January 22nd, annexation case A07-05, annex right-of-way between Warner and Ray. Item 6F, introduce ordinance for January 22nd, annexation case A07-09, annex right-of-way for a portion of Ellsworth north of University. Item 6G, introduce ordinance for January 22nd, annexation case A07-10, annex right-of-way between Pecos and Germain. Item 6H, introduce ordinance for January 22nd, annexation case A07-06, annex north and west of Hawes and McDowell. Item 6I, introduce ordinance for January 22nd, annexation case A07-23, annex west of Hawes and south of McDowell. Item 6J, introduce ordinance for January 22nd, zoning case Z07-114, 2800 South Ellsworth Road for an industrial slash employment park. Item 6K, introduce ordinance for January 22nd, zoning case Z07-117, 3100 South Power Road for multi-residential office and retail. Item 6L has been removed from the consent agenda. Item 6M, introduce ordinance for January 22nd, zoning case Z07-120, 423 South Signal Butte Road for a rezone. Item 6N, introduce ordinance for January 22nd, zoning case Z07-121, 5404 East Southern Avenue for a hospice facility. Item 6O, introduce ordinance for January 22nd, zoning case Z07-123, 200 West Vine Avenue for an auto storage yard. Item 6P, introduce ordinance for January 22nd, zoning case Z07-124, 3900 South Power Road for an office warehouse complex. Item 7A, act on resolution for reimbursement of $53,419 for regional traffic signal and street lighting improvements. Item 7B, act on resolution for reimbursement of $18,871 for regional street lighting improvements. Item 7C, act on resolution to secure $129,401 in grant funds for wireless access for police personnel. Item 7D, act on resolution to secure $43,188 in grant funds to provide training for the forensic unit. Item 7E, act on resolution to secure $25,687 in grant funds for overtime incurred by forensic unit. Item 7F, act on resolution to secure $69,000 in grant funds for overtime and equipment for the 2008 DUI Task Force. Item 7I, act on resolution for ICE to provide one detective to the Financial Crimes Unit. Item 7J, act on resolution to secure $10,000 in grant funds to train the police terrorism liaison officers. Item 7K, act on resolution to secure $250,000 in grant funds for police rapid response team. Item 7L, act on resolution to secure $230,000 in grant funds to improve security features to public safety building. Item 7M, act on resolution regarding stocking of fish at Mesa's urban fishing lakes. Item 7N, act on resolution to contract with Great West Retirement Services for city's deferred comp services. Item 8A, act on ordinance to amend Mesa City Code regarding traffic modifications. Item 8C, act on ordinance zoning case Z07-115, 3061 North Sossaman Road for a rezone. Item 9A, act on subdivision plat, Ghost Rider 8000 East Thomas Road. Mayor and council members, those are items on the consent agenda.
Were there any requests to remove any items?
There were no requests to remove any, Mayor, but the landowner for 9A, which is on consent, said he will respond to any questions should you have any.
Okay. All right. Entertain a motion then for the approval. I have a motion by Vice Mayor Walters, seconded by Council Member Jones for approval of the consent agenda. No discussion, would you please vote? The vote is unanimous in favor of the ayes. The first item, how'd you get it typed? Wow. The first item is on page 2 that we'll address as Council this evening. That would be to conduct a public hearing prior to release of annexation petitions for signatures for the following proposed annexations. This is annexation A07-38. It's annexing land located south and east of Ellsworth Road and Pecos Road, initiated by the property owner, Williams Gateway Airport Authority. I don't have any requests to speak. Was there anyone in the audience this evening that came to address the council on this item? This is again to release petitions for proposed annexation. I think it's just part of Ellsworth Road, so I wouldn't assume that there would be questions on it. All right, then I'm going to go ahead and close the public comment on that one. And we'll move on to A07-39. Again, this is by Williams Gateway Airport Authority, annexing land located south and west of Ellsworth Road and Pecos Road, 0.08 plus or minus acres, again initiated by the property owner. Is there anyone wanted to address the council on this? Seeing none, I'll declare the public hearing portion closed. Next item then would be on page 5. This is item 4J, and this is at Mesa Falcon Field, and I've been informed by staff that it has some potential asphalt construction work. Because I have an ownership interest in an asphalt construction business, I will declare from comment and discussion on this item and turn it over to Vice Mayor Walters.
Thank you, Mayor. This is item 5J, and Councilmember Truitt, I believe you also had a conflict.
Yes, our company occasionally does construction staking for contracts such as this, so I'll declare conflict.
Thank you. This is the Falcon Field Airport Northwest Area Storm Drain City of Mesa project. I won't read the number. This project will construct approximately 1,800 lineal feet of new 30-inch and 36-inch diameter storm drain to connect the existing piping in the street to the northwest quadrant to the existing airport retention basin. It's recommended that the award go to the low bidder, Calco LLC, for a total award of $213,400, and the funding is available from the airport capital improvement plan. Is there any request to speak on this particular item?
No request, Vice Mayor.
All right. I have a motion by Councilmember Jones for approval, seconded by Councilmember Whalen. Is there any council discussion on this? Seeing none, would you please vote? There you go. The motion carries with 5 ayes, and Councilmember Truitt and the Mayor abstaining because of potential conflicts of interest. Back to you, Mayor.
Next item is on page 9. It is item 6L. And this is zoning case Z07-118, District 5, the 3300 block of North Wrecker Road, west side, located south of Thomas Road on the west side of Wrecker Road. It's 25 plus or minus acres. It's being rezoned from M1 to M1 BIZ and site plan review. This request will allow for the development of commercial office development. We have pulled this. Councilmember Summers, you want to kick this one off?
Yes, Mayor, I pulled this item for some discussion. I think I need to open this up with a caveat and an understanding, clear understanding, that the zoning on this particular parcel is M1, which allows for a lot of the developments that we're talking about for hotels, office buildings, and even restaurants are already allowed use by right. What the applicant has come forward with is a request for BIZ overlay, which is a bonus intensity zone. Purpose of that zone is the city gives a little extra to projects we think that are high quality, a little extra height, a little extra density, those such items. For the most part, I find that the office buildings that are being recommended here are a very good use. They are three-story, Class A, higher materials, they're exactly what the city needs, and part of this BIZ is addressing a height restriction and would not allow to go above that. And it's a good location too, right off Loop 202 and Wrecker, there is a full access to this site, so it would be a good place for businesses to set up. Red Mountain Ranch, which is the area this is located, is arguably one of the best demographics we have in Mesa. We don't have a lot of freeway access in areas that are left that have this type of demographic. There are actually very few. Much of them have already been developed. This area absolutely screams for upscale development. And I think you've achieved that looking at the developer. I think you've achieved that with the office complex. I have high concerns, though, on the quality of the product that can go in, given what the description is of the hotel space. With only 100 rooms and two stories, I don't know that you can do much more than an economy hotel. Now, again, I want to say this is M1 use, and under M1, you can build that hotel in an M1 area. You don't need the BIZ. So why would we want to extend a BIZ, a bonus intensity zone, in an area where there's nothing really worthy of granting that? In having some discussions with the developer, who I think would like to come up and address in a moment, he's recommending some changes to the stipulations that would, I believe right now we're going to replace that with another Class A office building.
Yes. Okay, our series of events is usually first having the applicant present, followed by public comment, and then staff has a recommendation, and then we'll get into council discussion. So if the applicant would like to present, go ahead.
Certainly. Good evening, Mayor Hucker and members of the Mesa City Council. Thank you for the record. My name is Peter Valenzuela. My business address is 2425 East Camelback Road, Suite 950, Phoenix 85016. Tonight we're here to go ahead and talk about the Trost Properties application, hopefully moving towards approval January 22nd. That's the northwest corner of Loop 202 and Recker Road. Thank you, Councilmember Summers, for for leading us into the discussion. The proposed project is located at the northwest corner of Loop 202 and Recker Road, and we're requesting a bonus intensity overlay. The Mesa 2025 General Plan land use map designates this site as business park. The property is approximately 24.7 acres and is currently zoned M1. The property is currently vacant, and we have had some discussions also when working through planning and zoning with the neighbors. And we were able to come to a few concessions that the developer has done to work through some neighborhood issues. First off, we were able to go ahead. The city had this site zoned M1 a few years ago, and the Falconfield sub area plan was drafted, and the city wanted to make sure that this area conforms to that plan. The city at first had requested that the developer file a general plan minor amendment as part of the consent, which would have allowed a much higher retail density at the site. To ensure that this does not occur, the developer has since removed the application for the general plan amendment, therefore safeguarding the retail density to as a concession for the neighborhood. In addition, my client, Trost Properties, has also removed the original, has revised the site plan originally that included a fast food restaurant with a drive-thru. And for safety reasons and to deter crime, we went ahead and removed that fast food restaurant with drive-thru and replaced with a sit-down restaurant. Now, the site includes 7 buildings. The site would be a mixture of office buildings with general and medical uses, retail, health club, bank, and restaurant. The project itself requires 1,278 parking spaces, and there have been 1,357 have been provided. In regards to the hotel discussion, which we'll take up in a few minutes, I know that the site plan does contain a hotel proposed two-story that would accommodate 100 rooms. And we had some discussions with the planning department and some council members here last week and through this afternoon. And what we would like to do at this point is to remove the hotel, because I'm working through the Economic Development Department, they also thought that they would like to have us or the client, the developer, at 4 stories to attract a higher end flagship for that site. I believe there are a few other developments coming online here shortly in the same area that they also have hotels proposed on their site plans. So in my discussions with staff and some council members, if this hotel site was to be removed from ours, there would still be some hotels in the near future to accommodate the need. So my client would like to go ahead and replace the existing hotel site with another third Class A office building. and we would like to see that the biz overlay would be granted for the entire site plan, and that would include the ability to go two, three stories on that third building, on the third office building. And it would remain the same, the elevations you have there for the hotel, and I'm sorry, for the office buildings, would be the same Class A type of architecture. So that's where we are right now, and that's our presentation.
Okay. Let me, I will address some citizens that wish to speak, but let me turn it back over to staff to see what the process would be if that is agreeable with the council to make that modification on the hotel to Class A office as opposed to the hotel site. How does that work? Does it have to be resubmitted, or?
Mayor, council, we believe that we can make a simple modification to the first step, and I'll get to that later after you've heard from the public. But we think we can make that modification describing that the hotel is going away and we're going to substitute an office building instead for that parcel, and that we can then actually handle that site plan modification later administratively.
Okay. All right. Scott?
Mayor, I'd also like to recognize that Robert Britton from the Convention and Visitors Bureau is here, and he'd be willing to speak if you'd like to hear from him, but he is in support as well. And one piece I did leave off, this area is under the 60 DNL line of the Falcon Field Airport.
Okay. Let me go ahead and call up the citizens that wanted to address the council this evening. I have Michelle Lucy, or I'm sorry, Michael Lucy.
Thank you, Mayor Kenno. And from what I've just heard tonight, the withdrawal of the hotel buildings, my purpose of my speech was to speak against the hotels being constructed there. But since the party has acquiesced to not build the hotels, I'd like to give my time to somebody else that has a little more something to say. Thank you very much.
Okay. Why don't you, if that changes in our deliberation, I'll ask you to come back up if that works for you too. Mary Ellen? Lenore? Lennon?
Based on what I heard as well, I'd like to decide not to speak tonight. I'm very pleased to hear that, so thank you.
Okay. And Susan K. Hogan?
Yes.
Please. Susan?
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, Vice Mayor Walters, and City Council members. I just would like just a simple comment is that we live closest to the proposal, and with Virginia Street being one-way access in and out for this proposal and on its own, and there are five stoplights between Preston, Longbow, and Thomas. There are five of them. And all I'm asking is that that there be a traffic study done, which there has not been one. And I just think that at the least that it warrants that.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Richard Hogue.
Mr. Mayor, members of council, thank you for the opportunity to speak. I would echo my neighbors in that that is very good news that the hotel has been removed from this plan. As a person who drives this area every day, and I know you can't mitigate noise and traffic and pollution, you hear that all the time, okay? Development's gonna add that. But what I would at least like to plant a seed is that no matter what goes in here, and hopefully we can continue to work with a developer and get a high-end quality development that's congruent with the neighborhood, that this intersection, prior to any hazards, and I guarantee you there will be, especially with the fire department there, that either the developer or in some way or another, that it gets financed, that a upgrade in the signal system there is put in before construction even starts. Because there needs to be turn arrows there, and there needs to be a change in it. And if it's left as it is, when construction starts, it's going to be a disaster. So anyway, that's my comment for this evening, and I do thank you for your time.
Okay. I also had a card from David Glennon, who did not wish to speak, was opposed. So acknowledge that. Were there any other public comment cards or anyone here that came this evening to address the council on this item? Okay, let's turn back over to staff then, and anything changed? What language would need to be submitted tonight to move forward on this thing?
Compliance with the basic development as described in the project narrative and as shown on the site plan dated 12-1707, except as modified to change Parcel 3 from a hotel to a three-story Class A office building of similar design to the other office buildings proposed on the site plan, and compliance with the preliminary plat and preliminary elevations to be approved by the Design Review Board without guarantee of lot yield, building count, or lot coverage. Otherwise, it would remain the same.
Okay. The applicant, have you heard that before, or is this the first time?
Thank you, Mayor Hooker. John, what we'd like to go ahead and do, I just had a discussion with my client earlier as well, we would like to go ahead now the zoning as is already allows us to build a two-story office building. The reason this triggered a rezone was because we're looking for the 5 extra feet on the original two towers office building. My client would like to see that the overlay would be granted to the entire site plan with the ability to go to three stories. However, the architect hasn't mapped it out yet or drawn it out yet. So it might be two stories, might be three stories, but we'd like to maintain the overlay for the entire site plan so that it's either two or three, but with the ability to go to three instead of stipulating to three.
Mayor, Council, the discussion earlier was going to the three. The application as it has been presented and for you tonight would extend the BIZ over the entire property. Staff has some interest, I think, in seeing it all be the three-story to continue that same level of quality that we've seen on the rest of the site plan, but that's a council choice at this point of whether you want to include that stipulation to go to require the three-story or leave it open for the applicant for a future site plan review.
Councilmember Summers?
I need to go back to my original statement, which under the current M1 zoning, you're absolutely right. You are entitled to the two-story. So we could leave this section out of the BIZ overlay, and you can do the two-story and come back for the BIZ. Or we can add the three-story, because the reason for the BIZ is for the third story and the higher quality. That would be my discussion, but I'm interested to hear what the rest of my
Mayor Hawker and Councilmember Summers and John, we'll go ahead and stipulate to the three stories.
That's what you want to do? Well, that's where we're having that problem. I mean, two stories you can do now with M1. You don't need a BIZ overlay for that. For three, you need the BIZ for the three stories in order to get the Class A. It's my understanding, and we can ask Mr. Dubjiniak to come up, if I may, Mayor, about Class A office buildings. He knows more than I do, but I believe that in order to have a Class A office building, you have to really, it needs three stories.
Bill is the Economic Development Director. Welcome.
Welcome to Mesa.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. First of all, it's great to be standing here talking about a quality project and a quality location. Certainly, he's proposed two other three-story buildings. I think to stay in consistency, I would personally like to see the three stories continued. I think the councilman has it exactly right. He's allowed to do that do the two stories. But I'm looking for density as well as the quality as well. Certainly, three stories is not a huge, but I think it's a nice transition for that neighborhood. So that would be the economic development position. Besides that, this was proposed, just the office would actually create a well in excess of 500 jobs by projections.
Okay.
Mayor Hawker, member of the council, my client said we'll go ahead and stipulate to the three stories office building. Class A.
All right. And somebody want to make a motion?
I'll be glad to make that motion, or at least trip over myself as I attempt that we introduce this project with the change in stipulation to number one as read into the record. Also, before I finalize that, do we need to eliminate number 12? which comes back through P&Z since we're not doing that.
Mayor, Councilmember Summers, if we go with the ordinance that was originally presented in your packet, it didn't have number 12, and that's what I was going from. It also has the correct map with it. So we
okay, so it's not in that packet anyway. So we would, I'll make a motion for approval with the conditions of approval as amended. Will that work?
All right, just to be sure everybody's clear, you want to specify again the understanding, because I have another document here that I think must be an old one.
Mayor, council members, let me go over that again. In your original packet, there was, to be introduced, there was a list of stipulations and a attached ordinance map. If we take that one and modify number one, as I read earlier, which eliminates the hotel from parcel three and stipulates to a three-story office building in its place, three-story Class A office building, as I read earlier, then that's the ordinance you would be introducing and the map that is attached with that, as okay. opposed to the one we handed out earlier today.
And that's the applicant's understanding, too? All right. Okay. I have a motion by Councilmember Summers, seconded by Councilmember Jones. Discussion on the motion. Vice Mayor.
I'm going to support the motion. I really appreciate the work Scott's done on this. We've been discussing this for the last, 10 days or so, and appreciate the emails that we've gotten, the feedback. I know that there was a lot of concern, and the applicant has been incredibly responsive to that concern. So I'm very impressed. I know there was a lot of concern about the drive-through restaurant. You eliminated that at planning and zoning, and now I think that the other major concern has been taken care of. I would like to see us look at the upgrade to the signals prior to the start of construction, and so if somebody from transportation could take a look at that, that's not part of the vote. But, Jack, you'll pick up on that one.
Vice Mayor, I'll give the resident my card, and we'll make sure we oversee that.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Okay. Any other discussion? Scott.
Jack, that is a... that signal's preempted, right, for the fire station?
I know that to be exact.
Let's make sure that's done, too. All right, thank you.
Any other comments? Okay, we have a motion and second for approval as stated. Would you please vote? Vote is unanimous in favor of the ayes. Okay, the next item would be on page 12. That's item 7G. And this is approving and authorizing the city manager to execute a grant agreement with the governor's office for children, youth, and families to secure pass-through grant funds in the amount of $19,581 for a new leaf. Councilmember Whalen.
Thank you, Mayor. A new leaf is a customer of my security business. Therefore, I'll be declaring a conflict on both 7G and 7H. Which pertains to agreements with New Leaf and the City of Mason.
Okay. All right, we have a motion for approval by Councilmember Rawls, seconded by myself on item 7G. Any discussion? Please vote. The vote is 6 ayes and 1 abstention, with Councilmember Whalen abstaining for a potential conflict. Also, the conflict is noted on 7H. This is authorizing and approving the city manager to execute an agreement with a New Leaf to administer the grant funds in the amount of $19,581 received from the governor's office for children, youth, and families. This is again related to item number 7G. So we have a motion by Councilmember Truitt, seconded by Councilmember Walters for approval. Any discussion? Seeing none, please vote. Vote is 6 ayes, 1 abstention, so it does pass. Next item is on page 14. This is item 8B. This is a freeway and landmark sign at the 1500 block of South Elm School Road. I pulled this to vote no, just to be consistent with my stance on freeway landmark signs. I do have a motion for approval by Councilmember Summers, seconded by Councilmember Rawls. Any discussion? Councilmember Whalen.
I voted yes instead of turning my mic on. I'd like to commend the folks at Fiesta Mall for all the work they're doing down there. It's a great reuse project, and it's wonderful to see you being the element that makes it start to move in that district. I know Councilmember Rawls is excited about what's happening down there also, as is the rest of the council. And I believe this sign will help let people know with the depressed nature of the freeway through that area. And the large amount of traffic on the 60, it'll give some some people an extra chance. And I think anything we can do to promote economic development for that mall is well worth it. Thank you, Mayor.
Okay. Any other comments? All right. Please vote. How'd you recast?
on the record, sir.
Don't leave it there.
One time.
All right. Please vote on this item and watch the button you push. Okay, the vote is 6 ayes and 1 nay with the mayor voting nay. Almost got me. All right. Let's go to 8D. This is an item that is recommended for approval. It is the 6860 East Warner Road, a zoning case Z07-116. And Councilmember Whalen, I believe you have a conflict.
Thank you, Mayor. It's been a good month for Centurion. I'll be declaring a conflict on this. The Gateway Bank is a new bank in that area and is a current customer of my business. Thanks.
Okay. Vice Mayor.
Mayor, can we fine him for mentioning his business name?
He's not Rotary.
It's not Rotary. Yeah.
Okay. Any other comments on this from Council? Do we have a motion and second for approval? Then would you please vote? The vote is 6 ayes and 1 abstention with Council Member Whalen abstaining because of potential conflict. The last item is item page 15, items from citizens. Do we have any requests to speak this evening?
No request to speak, Mayor.
Entertained. We have a motion and second to adjourn. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right, we are adjourned.